Welcome to the Coach Louisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Louisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Louisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lilisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/LilisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Louisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, I'm so glad to see that technology is rolling right along. Things are going well so far, so good. Well, today is wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, the middle of the week, they call it. You know, it's just 7 days of the week, and we have Wednesday falls right there in the middle. You know, it's like you're almost there, but not quite yet. So we're on our way. We're headed somewhere. So we just say good morning to you. We're waiting for Mr. Versi Walker, who will be tuning in shortly. And we will bring him to the phone lines as soon as he does. Good morning, Tina. Good morning, Hope. Good morning, Patricia. Good morning, Paul and Kiva. Good morning, Virginia. Good morning to our good friends in California and those that we've met down in Tennessee when we were down there. Good morning and welcome to the Coach Louisa Show, where we are on a mission. We're on a mission to motivate, to empower, to inspire you to achieve your highest potential in life. In other words, to live your dream, to go for the goal, to win. And I see we have Mr. Versi Walker on. Good morning, Mr. Walker. How are you today?
You know what? Good morning. I'm doing splendidly well. How about yourself?
I am doing absolutely great. Yes, I tell you, and I know you're getting ready for your big day this weekend.
You know, I am getting ready, but I'm following you and all the big things you're doing, from New Jersey to NY. Is Paris next? I'm just trying to see, you know.
Yes.
I got my passport ready. I got my suitcases ready, you know. Just call on me.
And I believe Paris is, I had signed up with I'm signed up with several network marketing companies, and one of the companies that I'm signed up with, they just opened their London markets, London and Canada, actually, somewhere in the fall of last year. So they've been actually encouraging everyone to come over, attend some of the training that is happening over there. So I plan to go with them this year. So will be going in that capacity as a sales rep and marketing rep for a network marketing company, but at the same time, it'll give me an opportunity to talk about Release Your Power and some of the other books. So, yes, we are going to London.
Watch out now. Watch out now.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. I am so looking forward because we're going to be going, and there should be thousands of people by now that have gotten on board. And also, they've opened up recently some African markets as well. So we're going to be marketing to Africa. So before I turn it over to you, because I know at the end I won't be able to come back and do much because we have to get down to Essex County College where they're having their social work day, and I am delivering a message about never giving up on your dreams, Mr. Walker. And that, yes, yes, that is going to be very, very, a very, very emotional speech for me, an exciting day because, 25 years ago when I came to New Jersey with nothing, I needed a lot of social services. And now to be invited back to speak on Social Work Day as a college professor and author and entrepreneur, it's truly, truly amazing, you know. So turn of events, I should say. So I'm
right.
Really, really looking. Yes, yes, I'm telling you. And also, I want to remind people, so for those of you who can come down to Essex County College this morning at 9:30, if you're free, we would love to see your face there. A lot of social agencies have been invited. They will all have their vendor tables up. And I will also have a vendor table up. So for those who would like to get a copy of my book, I'll be there with a vendor table selling my books. And the other thing, too, is that if you are free on April the 7th, I was reminded that I needed to promote that event as well. We're going to be at the Newark Screens, and they're just calling it the Screens, the Newark Screens, which they've revamped, they're revamping, they're rebuilding, they're renewing. We'll be at the Newark Screens doing a workshop entitled Career Checkup. So it's a career checkup seminar down there at the Newark Screens, and I will be talking about getting your career in order. Also, it's a Thursday evening. I will be there at 5:30. Miss Tina Lane will also be there as well, and she will be talking about, you know, some customer service aspects of your career, of your career. So that's about a little bit over, just one day past a week away. It is free and open to the public. So you can bring all your friends, all your, you know, your coworkers, and tell everyone you know. We're going to be in a pretty big room, so we want to fill the room up as much as we can. The room seats 180 people. So we are very, very, very excited about that, and we want to make sure that tell your friends. We'll post a flyer. It's been posted on Facebook. Please tell everyone you know to come down to the Newark Screens on Thursday, April the 7th. So we do have a lot of big events that are coming up this Friday and Saturday. We will be back at the Wyndham with one of our Kingdom Women Empowerment Convention. That is one of our Christian women conventions. So please, if you're in the area, come down Friday night starting at 6 p.m. and Saturday during the day, 9 to 3. We will be back with preachers, and we have music. We have people, a dancer coming, Miss Kiva, who tunes into the show all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. She's going to be in the house. We're excited, Miss Elaine Haskins and others. I'm not even sure who all is coming, but we are excited, excited. Friday, Dr. Blount out of New York. She's from Brooklyn. She will be our Friday night speaker. That's this Friday, April 1st, and Saturday, April 2nd. And then, y'all, just get ready because it is going to rip I'm telling you, we're ripping through with events to motivate you, to empower you, to inspire you. When 2011 is over, when it's over, at the close of business day, December the 31st, you know, people are not going to be able to say, I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it done. I couldn't reach my goal. I didn't know how. I didn't know how to live my dream, because we are going to be hitting you every month, two or three times a month, with events that are going to help you, empower you, motivate you, inspire you to achieve your best life right now, starting today. So we want to see you at some of these events. And with that being said, Mr. Walker, thank you so much for your commitment to coming on the show every Wednesday and bringing us a message that resonates so largely in our lives in terms of what we need to do to achieve the success that God has created for us and has planned for us and has meant it to be. So without further ado, Mr. Walker, take it away.
Wow. Wow, I love that introduction. No, thank you for having me. Thank the listeners, as always, for tuning in, for allowing me to share each and every week. I just can't say it enough that this is continually, for me, exciting time to just be able to share this experience, because for the first time, I'll say, and going back to your statement about your upcoming event, you know, teaching people to, you know, never give up on your dream. And so for this experience with me, with being on the radio with you, surreal. Being a public speaker, surreal. Doing the events that we're doing on a continual basis is so surreal, because it is that statement that you made which resonated and so poignant, because I have never given up on my dreams. I've expanded. I may have changed direction, but my core focus or my core desires, I've never changed. And, again, fortunate for the media that we have today, people can experience these types of talks. They can, you know, be engaged. They can be empowered and enlightened, and sometimes not even leaving the confines or the comforts of their own home. And I don't know why, but I didn't realize that there were certain events, medias and places that I could get this type of information. And there was always those great few that, you know, gave empowerment speeches and talked about changing your mindset and your ideology. And because they weren't accessible, I only believe that they were touting that information to increase their revenue or their exposure. And then it wasn't until I really embraced that. I'm like, wait a minute, you know what? If I keep doing what I'm doing, I keep getting the same results. So that's insanity. So if I change my thought pattern, if I change my activity, maybe then I'll get different results. So I am fortunate to be in this position at this point in time in my life, because my consciousness is embracing this. And, again, I'm living in this moment. I'm not trying to advance mentally beyond where I'm at the moment. I still have my foresight. I still have, you know, my vision, and God has continuously given me provision and allow these resources around me to help advance me, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm feeling good in my skin, Coach, and I want everyone to feel that same way. So that's why I love doing what we're doing. And good morning to everyone who's listening, tuned in, those who are listening to archives, those who are, you know, on their iPods, et cetera. Thank you again for having me. Thank you again for embracing some of the things I say, some of the things I'm trying to convey and bring across in what we're doing, because excuse me, I'm so sorry. This is just, you know, one man who still feels like a kid inside, because I'm being creative. I'm doing different things. I'm challenging myself, and I'm having a good time at it. And if I don't do it right, hey, it's just like that piece of paper. Ball it up and start all over again. I'm repainting the canvas, the backdrop to my life, and inviting anyone in who would like to do the same, who have like-mindedness, who are looking to not only, you know, increase whatever that is for them, but to increase in abundance, but also to give back. Because it doesn't make sense to be the one person in your village who has steak, who has running water and who has a gazillion of dollars, and the rest of the people around you are suffering because you too soon will become them if you don't share. So, again, thank you for sharing, Coach. Thank you for sharing. I just want to give a quick update. I know you had mentioned that I'm getting prepared for the event, and it's just 3 days away. 3 days away for the Self-Employment Expo. This is the third annual Self-Employment Expo done in Chicago. This is going to have at least 75 vendors and exhibitors. It's right now up to 500 registered, I say this again, registered attendees. That is phenomenal. I know for events such as this, the registrations have gone down. People aren't taking advantage of it. Most events like this cost. So you pay to get in, and then you also pay for any of the exhibits that you want to partake in. This one is free. Trying to give back, acting as a mentor, showing that a collective body of people could now show up at one place at one time and demonstrate and expose their wares and show you perhaps how you can do the same. Anybody who's listening and within a 100-mile radius of Chicago on this Saturday, you need to be at the Self-Employment Expo. In business, out of business, unemployed, underemployed, or a thriving business, you will benefit from the things that will be going on there, and I'll be there as well, not only as an exhibitor but also as a presenter on April 2nd. Also, Coach, you may have remembered on this past Friday evening, I had an interview with our good friend Deborah Brown and Tahisha Askew. And they're actually from the Coming Out of the Darkness into the Light on Blog Talk Radio. Yep.
Yes.
That show was excellent. Excellent. They asked wonderful questions. But what you felt like in that interview, like I was sitting in my living room and we were just having a conversation. It was too short. I think just like Minister Pat, we only had a half an hour, and we needed an hour. So they're going to invite me back. And also, Ms. Deborah has a new television show there in New Jersey that she's going to interview me on in the upcoming weeks. So I'll keep you guys posted with that as well. Also, on April 7th and 8th, I will be back in D.C. for two more book signings at the Ronald Reagan National Airport, as well as the BWI there in Maryland. So if anyone's in the area, come by. But also, enjoy the Cherry Blossom Festival that's taking place there. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal time in this area, in this region. Those trees, as they blossom, it just will blow your mind. I didn't realize, Coach, how wonderful or how vast or how lovely the East Coast was. Again, coming from the Midwest, with the flat plains, you know, tall buildings, even in the rural areas, it wasn't much to just, you know, bask at. It was vastness, but nothing to just say, you know, wow. But just in this region, I could see why so many people flock here, why they come here as tourists, because it is phenomenal. It's awe-inspiring. And this, for me, is my season because I love the fact that it's staying light longer in the evening. I love to walk. I love to ride my bike. And even just in my community, I keep seeing something that is awe-inspiring and that lets me know this wonderful universe that we're in and how pleasing I am to be a part of it and, again, to be in this consciousness that I am today. Also, on April 30th, it is my full intention to be with you in Cleveland, Ohio, for the second leg of the convention. That is, again, near and dear to me because many of my family members are from the Ohio area, Cincinnati, Cleveland, as well as Toledo. So I'll be not in Chicago, but I'll be close to home. So that's my agenda for right now. As things progress and change, I'll let everyone know. Also, too, as usual, if you're looking to learn more about me and who I am and what I'm doing, just log into my website at www.versywalker.com. And that's spelled V as in victory, ERSIEWALKER.com. Now, today, I want to touch on the topic of creating young leaders today for tomorrow's future. This kind of struck me, and I'm just looking at our children. I'm looking at the direction of, you know, media I'm looking at all the exposure or overexposure to negative behavior or reaching for less than your best. But I was actually at my daughter's karate school on last Saturday, and they had invited in a master Taekwondo instructor. And this gentleman was phenomenal. I think he was about 20 years, a year and our senior. So he was an older gentleman, but he grappled with the best of them. So you couldn't tell that his age was far greater than most of the ones he was instructing. What struck me is because I know the philosophy of the martial arts, is peace before war. It is, believing in yourself, feeling good about yourself, and taking care of yourself and your community. And as they were instructing the kids on how to be leaders and not followers, not be like sheep and follow the herd, not be like cattle and go inside a danger for slaughter and not realize where you're going and you being the next victim. And I really believed what they were saying, and I enjoyed the fact that they were telling them that, be independent, be leaders, not followers. But what confused me and what I did not subscribe to is when they said, be like the wolf pack. Because in the wolf pack, they're all possessing leadership, but there's one leader, and that leader instructs the wolf pack what to do. And they follow that. And they know if they stray, especially into the mountains, then they may get met with a bobcat. And a bobcat, which I didn't know, can conquer a wolf. So they stay within the pack, and they work well within the pack, and they each have duties within that pack. That I understood, because these are the same constraints they have in my household, my kids at least, that, you know what, you're independent thinkers, you can do pretty much what you want, but there is still a restriction on what you can do. However, I thought, given the martial arts status and the fact that people shouldn't follow anyone besides themselves, and as you mentioned, not, giving up on your dreams, so follow your dreams. So I'm thinking that they would have said, be more like the eagle. Because, see, the eagle flies higher than any bird. It soars further than any bird. It can see miles away than any other animal. But one thing you'll never see when it comes to an eagle, you'll never see a flock of eagles. You'll never see a group of eagles. See, you can't be amongst the chickens and fly like an eagle. It just won't happen. So that's where I became dismissed, or I became concerned, because I don't want my kids following anyone per se. I do want them to be independent thinkers, and I want them to be leaders. And so from doing that, I said, okay, am I training my kids properly to become a leader? What is a successful leader? What is leadership at its very core? So as usual, I had to go back and say, you know what? Let me make sure that I'm doing the right thing. Because based on them telling my kids not to follow sheep and be like the herd, but more like the wolf pack, I do understand that analogy. I do understand that. But I want them to be the leader amongst leaders. And so maybe that was the message they were saying, that in the wolf pack, just like an acorn, in every acorn there is a tree. In every acorn there is a tree, but unfortunately not every tree is born from that acorn because it's not fertilized right. It's not put in the right soil. So I want to make sure that I'm training my kids, because I'm struggling with that. How do I not impose upon my wishes and my views and my thoughts and dismiss what they want to do and who they want to become? As you know, with Twitter and with Facebook, the inventors and creators of those instruments, I believe, are each less than 30 years old. And they may have been influenced by someone who was positive, and hopefully it was someone in that household. Or they may have been discouraged by that same individual in their household, and they set out on their own anyway to create one of the 21st century phenomenons. They will go down in history because of this, because they were leaders and not just followers in this game of life. So struggling with that, again, I want to ensure that I'm not suppressing whatever it is inside of them, and that maybe what they're expressing, because I'm not familiar with it, I don't find comfort in it. So I just want to make sure that I am saying and acting in accordance with my belief that I want them to be the best, and whatever that is, let them discover it. So in doing so, I want to make sure that I come up with a definition or find out what the definition or characteristics of a true leader is, and not to be distracted by my biases, by how I was raised. I remember telling, you know, my mom them years ago, you know, I'm going to catch a plane and go so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, because of their fear, they would say things, you know, people die in planes. Oh, you may not want to do that. You sure you want to go to Paris? You want to do that? Because of their upbringing or because of their mindset and ideology, people die in the bathtub, but we ain't stopped taking baths. People die in car accidents far more often than a plane goes down in a year. But no one discusses that. So I just want to make sure, again, because I'm struggling, I'm grappling with protecting them, my children, that is, but also expressing and allowing their mind to expand. And then now I'm on the school board. So I'm seeing stuff that I've never seen before. I'm hearing situations, you know, the teachers who are struggling, the students, excuse me, who are not comprehending, the policies that may be restrictive or not in place. And we're still, again, asking everyone to line up, to follow the herd, but then be independent. I have a problem with that. So, again, I want to cover what I believe a leader is and what true leadership is. So I hope everyone who's listening have a pen and a paper as I go over these points and why I think that we can be okay. By definition, a leader is actually a person who influences, persuades a group of people towards the achievement of a goal. Also is a person who, excuse me, rules, guides, or inspires others. So I guess that analogy about following the wolf pack would be correct if you want to guide and persuade others. Then I said, well, what about success? Because I want my kids to be successful leaders. And success is actually the outcome, result, or degree or measure of succeeding, favorable or desired outcome, the attainment of wealth, favor, or immense and or simply one that succeeds. So if they become leaders, and that was my desire for them, and it was hopefully their desire for themselves, then they will succeed. Okay, good point. Now, being armed with that information, I then want to know what are or what could be considered a leader. What attributes or traits would that be possessed by a successful leader? So I came up with a few different ones for myself. And based on my thoughts, my beliefs, and how I've actually changed my mind and reignited it from poverty to prosperity, I am actually looking at what a leader would be. Leaders will be responsible, someone who takes responsibility for their actions and for the actions of the other members or the people in which they will lead. So that lead wolf, head wolf, alpha wolf will then take responsibility for the well-being of those in which he leads and will be responsible for his or her actions, especially if they're not congruent with the rules within the body in which they're leading. Okay, I could agree with that. Then a leader would also be dependable. There's someone who is reliable and someone you can count on. And I truly want my kids to be like that because I'm that way for my children. I'm someone they can count on any time of the day, any time of the night, because I believe we have to have that relationship in order to move forward and feel comfortable in this body that we have where I'm the leader. And I want them to one day be or exhibit leadership qualities. Next, the leader will have it will be respectful. A successful leader would then not only be respectful of him or herself, but certainly respectful of others. I don't understand how one could have esteem for other people, adoration for other people, high regards for other people, but don't have self-esteem for themselves. How can I, you know, you respect what the guy next door is doing and you don't even respect yourself? Maybe he can be a living example of what you should be like, but to have more regards for him than you. I was actually at my kid's school this past week for a multicultural festival where they bring in food from various different cultures, and we share that. And one lady's child was very disruptive, very disruptive. And this young man was 5 years old. And she said, wow, your children are always so mannerable and well-balanced. I need to, you know, let you have my child for about a week or so, and maybe you can instill something in him. I believe I could. But if she has to look outside of her own door to find someone else to rear and raise her child, the problem is not a child. The problem is her. And she needs to look in the mirror, because the situation could be greatly different if she would change her pattern, her attitude, and herself, because I wouldn't tolerate that. So in looking for leadership, you have to be respectful. And certainly, a leader has to be trustworthy. No one wants to follow someone they do not trust, someone they do not believe in, someone that is sending them to battle but won't go fight themselves. People have to believe that behind their back and in hard times, you won't leave them. You won't dismiss them. You value the same values that they do and that you support the whole cause. Otherwise, they won't follow you. And you can lead by intimidation. We see in Libya that ain't happening no more. You can try to rule by intimidation in Egypt. That is no longer taking place. But you have to be a trustworthy leader, someone that people can believe in. Also, a leader will be caring, empathetic, maybe not sympathetic, but empathetic enough to say, you know what? I understand. You know what? I know your limitations. You know what? I've gone through what you're going through as well. And look what I was able to do. And if the Father provided that for me, he'll provide that for you as well. That leader will show kindness, even when met by their adversaries. Even when times are challenging and they may not have the solution at the moment, they will at least be kind in that moment. Successful leaders are also quick decision makers. They will make a decision at the drop of a dime, good or bad, but they've made a decision nonetheless. They have decided at some point in time to make that decision. That's why we like good leaders. They make good decisions. I'm looking at Jay-Z the other day, and I understand that this man made over $400 million last year alone. He made more money than the top CEOs of major corporations. See, he made a decision a long time ago how he was going to guide his career and how he was going to guide his life. He started making a blueprint, no pun intended for his last three albums, but blueprint of his life. And he has not wavered. He's been quick to make decisions when it pertained to his brand, his name, and again, his future. And so decision makers, quick decision makers, are usually successful leaders. Now, also, when we look at this, and we go back to the bond life that Paul Garza talks about, they are charismatic. They can walk into a room and light it up. Just their mere presence. If anyone has ever had the pleasure of going to a convention or a meeting or a presentation by Bill Clinton, you would swear that he's the guy who just was at your house that weekend before eating barbecue. He's that person and makes you feel like if you're on the side of a road and your car is broke down and he comes through, you don't mind giving him the keys to help start it back up. He is very charismatic. You would go and give this man your wallet, your last dime. You just want to be closer to this person because what they emanate, you just want to be a part of it. This much, I'm guessing, like the experience with the lady who had trouble, and all she wanted to do was touch the hem of his garment. A good leader, a successful leader, would have that charismatic air that just draws and attracts people in on a regular basis. Ultimately, they are also great strategists. Just like the example with Jay-Z, they plot out, they strategize, they look at the landscape, and they see things that are going on that you may not recognize. And they plan out the plan of action, but they also look at what can be the ultimate result. Will they meet their golden objective? So they look at all the scenarios. They don't just say go out there and build you a house on that land. They test the soil. They don't just say go out there and get you any education. They look at the landscape and how the dynamics and what's changing in the industries and where they can make a difference and or an impact. So you going to Paris with the direct marketing or multi-level marketing organization, you're going to make an impact. So you're looking at what my objective is, what my goal is, and what could be the results of these efforts. That's what a good leader does. They strategize. They're great strategists. They're great strategists. Even if the outcome isn't well, they still make quick decisions and they strategize along the way. So now, Coach, this actually made me think, am I going to be okay? Will my kids be all right? I firmly believe that my children, each of them, and that these kids are all Leos, and they all are distinctively different with varying needs and various levels of understanding, but they are more teachers to me than I think I'm teaching them. But I think they're going to be okay because these guys, my kids, they possess at least almost, if not all of these aspects and attributes that I just got through discussing. Now it made me think, wait a minute, okay, so if they have these characteristics, they're going to be successful leaders at whatever they do. See, my grandmother said, it don't matter what you do, just be the best at whatever it is that you do. And that's what I want for my kids. But then it hit me. There's still one last thing. There's one aspect. There's one critical key component to being a successful leader. And I didn't mention that. But when it dawned on me, I'm like, you know what? Let's make sure that we all understand this because everybody wants to be top dog. Everybody wants to do what you just did on the 18th of this month. They want to jump ship and they want to start their own. They want to be the leader of their fate. They feel like maybe I do, that if I'm going to be on a plane that goes down tomorrow, I want to be at a minimum in first class, but at the maximum, I want to be the one driving that plane. I want to steer my own fate and my own destiny. So everyone feels that, I believe, for the most part. I want to be the leader of my house when I was living in my mama's house, but didn't like it when bills came in my name. I wanted to go work and have the freedom of spending the money the way I wanted to. Didn't like it when she said, oh, but where's your portion of the rent? See, there's a level of responsibility if you're going to hold that title. So I'm like, what is the key component that's missing? Because all these characteristics I see within my children, I see within others, and I look at successful people and what they do and how they act and how they respond. And I say, you know what, I don't want to miss with my children because I only have one time. I don't want to miss with the children that I'm representing in the school board because I just have one time. I want to make sure we hit the mark, just like what we're doing with this radio show, like what we're doing with these conventions and these expos. We don't want to go haphazardly throughout the night wondering will we make it off of this desolate island. We want to have a plan. So I said, what is the one key component that will make the difference, that will ensure them being successful? Because I want them to succeed. Time is short. Time is of the essence. Time is the one thing we have the most of and the least thing that we should be wasting, because you and I never know when our time is up. So I look back from my 5-year-old to my 10-year-old to my 14-year-old. I said, what is it that I'm missing or that they're not getting? And it came to me. In order for them to ever become a successful leader, they must first know how to be led. See, my children, much like me at their age, I thought I knew it all. Can't tell me nothing. I know how to do this thing here. I've been on this earth 10 years, 14 years. I got it down pat. So that's the fundamental key component that many people oftentimes lose. They don't know how to be led. They resist leadership. They resist individuals showing them perhaps the proper way, or getting inoculated, or dealing with, or becoming, or working through obstacles. They want to take the helm immediately. You're teaching someone who never fried a hamburger how to fry a hamburger, and they're going there flipping it before you instructed them on how to do so. That's probably one of the key components that is hurting our communities and our society today. Not only are kids resisting being led, also those who are trying to lead them resist being led. So how can you be a successful leader and tell me what to do when you won't do it yourself? See, because in the visible eye, we like to see before we believe. So show me, prove to me that you would do the same thing. Mama, you say castor oil is good for me, then you take it too. Dad, you tell me that, you know, I need to come in at night and check in and be proper and speak to people when I come in the house, then you do it too. Show and demonstrate. I don't send my kids to do anything without giving them instruction. Then I go back and I visibly check on what they're doing, because I want to inspect what I expect. But I set expectations. There's a gentleman who just wrote a book called The Other Wes Moore. And The Other Wes Moore is a gentleman who's in jail serving life for him and his brother robbing a jewelry store in Baltimore. The Other Wes Moore lives wherever he wants to. He has been around the world twice. He has been invited to the White House. He has did great and wonderful things within his lifetime. Both Wes Moores are roughly the same age. Both grew up in Baltimore. One moved away to Brooklyn, and the situation in Brooklyn was even worse. His grandmother and his mother refinanced their house and sent them to a boarding school, a naval academy, I believe, in Philadelphia. Years later, as he grew up, hearing about the Westmore and the situation with the robbery and the fact that this guy who has the same namesake, same circumstances, living around the same time, he reached out to him in prison. Developed a relationship over the last 7 years, but the point of the story is that he wrote a book. But he interviewed this gentleman and talked to him and wanted to find out what was fundamentally different, what made his life turn in one direction, and this Wes Moore, who is now serving life for the rest of his life, went in another direction. So the Wes Moore, who's a Rhodes Scholar, he asked the question of the inmate Wes Moore. He said, what happened? What was the difference? Were we both victims of our circumstances? The incarcerated Wes Moore said, no. We were victims of our expectations. See, no one had expected the incarcerated Wes Moore to be more than what he became. No one invested in the time. No one saw a leader in him. But the Wes Moore, who moved to Baltimore, then to Philadelphia for boarding school, which he resented the entire time initially that he was there. See, other people had set levels of expectations. Mom and them had took the time, effort, and energy to put their money where their mouth was at. They refinanced their home during a time people wasn't doing that to save their own children. So now that he could go out and be a viable entity in society, that he could stand alone and be that eagle, that he can soar, and then help others. They didn't want him to be a follower or follow the flock, being led astray. They didn't want him to go to slaughter like the incarcerated Wes Moore. They saw something in this gentleman, but it was profound that this man would say, we were not victims of circumstances. Life happens. They were more victims of expectations. And I don't expect my children to be followers. I expect them to utilize their talents and their skills, that thing that's in them, the innate ability to prosper, to make quick decisions. They're trustworthy kids. I expect them to be trustworthy adults. I want to one day be able to depend on my children in the hour of need. I respect them because I respect myself. And so what my kids do within the community, it rains, it shines. It fills my heart with joy. And again, maybe I'm biased because they're my kids. But I know for a fact that if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'll keep getting greater and better results because I think I'm on the right track. So I, too, much like you, Coach, I'm trying to be that successful leader, to have people who will look up to me and then one day take the rein. One day say, sit back, I got this. Based on what you told me and showed me, I got this. I got your back. Then we can be leaders amongst leaders. We can be champions. And then we can be better able to go to victory together to change this landscape that we're complaining about. And oftentimes we're complaining about situations that we're actually contributors to, that we're actually contributing to on a regular basis and voluntarily. We're standing in line. We're following the herd. We're headed to slaughter. I've seen with situations where people were told that their community would be dismantled, that people are coming in and buying up land and they would knock these buildings down. Those people of the wrong mindset, the poverty consciousness, not prosperity consciousness, they sat there to the day that the doggone blast came through, that the dump trucks came through, still saying, they don't want this land. Oh, they're not coming back. They're not going to, you know, who want to move around here? Look at this place. You know, they're lucky. I wouldn't even want them to live here. And they wound up being victims of their circumstances based on their expectations because progress moves forward. Nothing stays the same. Change is inevitable. And if you're intimidated by change, you will be eliminated by change. Change is the only one constant that we have, and it's constantly changing people. So we have to make the difference. We have to change our mindset. We have to change our level of expectation. We have to look for characteristics within others, but definitely within ourselves, that would demonstrate what we want our results or what we want our life to look like. We have to show them that one thing that's being accepted is like 100 things being endured. So if you were to tolerate and accept one level of disrespect, you might as well let 100 things happen to you. You might as well get slapped, kicked around, stomped, or what have you, because you're accepting of this. You're not being a leader. You're not changing what you think and how you act and how you behave, and so you're constantly getting the same results, and you don't know why. Demonstrate the characteristics of dependability, being trustworthy, being someone that can be led and worthy of leadership. See, I learned something years ago that children want to be led. They want to be instructed. They want to be guided. So they want to succeed. So they don't want to fail. So if there's someone who can demonstrate and show them this is the right path, they're willing to follow them because they follow this music industry. They follow the knuckleheads in the street who tells them what they should wear and what's cool and what ain't cool. So I know they want to be led. But we as parents, community leaders, activists, and the alike, we need to understand that we have to earn that trust. We have to earn that right to lead them, to show them the way, and then we cannot dishonor that, because then we have what we have today. We have a mini upheaval right here in the United States. We have a rebellion going on in our own household, people. Your child would rather slam the door and tell you, you know what, talk to the hand than listen to what you have to say. That is deplorable. It is unheard of. I'm surprised I still have my front set of teeth from the many times I got knocked in my mouth for trying that same thing. Because I was being led by leaders. And I was going to follow them whether I wanted to or not. But they were worthy of my attention. And many of them have gone on. They've transitioned. They're not here to witness how I'm demonstrating within the body of my household and in the community and society in which I live in. I think they will be singing my praises because I am honoring what they embedded in me. I am utilizing the principles of sound leadership. I'm showing that I can be the one who can make quick decisions, who can show you, who respects himself and respects others. I try to have a little charismatic flair, too, you know, just a little something, something. But someone that, you know what, in my midst, that you're okay. I'm not here to bring harm to you, but to move you from harm's way. And that's what a leader do. But I want to be that eagle. I want to soar. I don't want a flock of just, you know, rubber stamp followers. If I'm going to have a group of people of any kind, I want them to be leaders as well, in their own rights, in their own situation. I prefer a certain exotic car. I would love to have it in my driveway. I want those who are leaders and they're around me as well to have what they want, too, in their driveway. Because it would be really nice if my car breaks down and I need a lift, that I'm riding in niceness all the way around. It feels like I'm in good company. When I'm with you, Coach, it feels like I'm in good company. When I'm with Minister Pat, it feels like I'm in good company. When I chat back and forth with Miss Tina, I feel like I'm in good company. That's what leaders are about, making a difference, showing up when they say they will, providing guidance and services beyond what was expected, going beyond what the person envisioned that they were capable of doing, because they're dependable and they're reliable. So before we get off, I just want to go back over the points or the attributes of a good leader or a successful leader and what you can do when you're trying to demonstrate that to others, when you're looking for a promotion, when you're saying, you know what, I'm going to set out on my own and do what, you know, Vertie Walker did. I want to do what Les Brown did. I want to do what my mama did. Make sure that you possess these attributes or that you're willing to invest to make sure that what you don't have, you could soon obtain. The first leader, again, or the first characteristics of a leader is, well, a successful leader is responsible. Also, they're dependable. Next, as I said, they will be respectful of others as well as themselves, and they're trustworthy. Today, that word trustworthy is immensely weighed against everything we do. We have been so shattered over the last 11 years, from 9/11 to the sniper situation to the blackout, to Enron, to the tsunami, the collapse in Wall Street, to being lied to by our mortgage holders. People just do not trust anymore, and rightfully so, because that has been dishonored. And at some point, we were celebrating that. That's the irony of the situation. We were celebrating that. We were watching movies where, you know, Wall Street brokers were shystering people, where, you know, con artists were robbing people, and we were celebrating that. We were saying, man, I like how, man, they did that. You know, that was smooth. And so now it has come back to bite us. But trustworthiness is on the rise, so people, make sure that you exhibit that. Being caring and kind. We don't have to wait till a Katrina happens to speak and say hello to our neighbors, to take food to a food pantry, to donate our time. We do not have to wait for the next tsunami to get up and say, you know what, I'm going to stand up and do something. No, the needs have been here all the time, and most of them are right at your front door. And most of you people won't even, well, not the ones who listen to our show, but most people won't even wake up and pay attention. Also, you want to be quick to make decisions. Good, bad, or indifferent, make the decision to make a decision. Say, you know what, I'm going to do this, and it may not be acceptable. I'm going to make this choice, and it may not be popular, but I'm going to make it anyway. Our great president is faced with that right now. He's making a decision that's not popular with everyone. But he understands if he does nothing, what we, again, accept, we will receive 100 times more pressure. So if we accept the slaughter of people elsewhere and thinking that we're okay, no, that rooster will come to roost on, in our backyard as well. Also, be a little bit more charismatic. We don't have to be flamboyant. We don't have to be all extra. But be able to go in and resolve situations. Be able to go in and say, peace be still. Peace be unto you, and sincerely mean it. Be able to bring a collective body of people together and share with them your insights and have them network and share with others. Do it in a way where people don't feel intimidated or challenged, that they like and want to be around you. These are the things that I think are fundamentally sound and what would help to create great leaders. And the best way you can demonstrate that, people, is to demonstrate the fact that you can be led as well. And with that, Coach, I'm giving it back over to you.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Leaders, yes, strong. Caring, knowing, doing, being, living, seeing. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I tell you, Mr. Walker, we thank you again for another powerful, inspiring message. I know that you've been inspired. You've been inspired. Those of you that have stayed with us throughout the show, thank you, thank you, thank you. There are so many, I tell you, others is an inspiration in and of itself. That any time you have an opportunity, wow, that is so, so awesome. Thank you again, Mr. Walker. Thank you, Paul,
thank
and
you.
Kiva, and all of you, the guests in the chat room that have stayed with us. Thank you, Jam 10 Hypno Solutions, that was with us this morning, and those on the switchboard, Pat and Tina. And to all of you who will come back and listen to the archives, we thank you. Well, we have tomorrow is Thursday. We will be here tomorrow. I'm no doubt following up on, and you know what? I feel like I'm going to deliver the I Had a Dream speech. Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes. What an opportunity. You know, I'm living my dream today. It's talking about surreal. Talk about surreal, you know. So I just thank God, you know, for all of the people who have been a part of this powerful journey. Give me a call if you have any comments or questions after the show. You know, we're going to continue networking. We're going to continue so that, you know, Mr. Walker, how we do, we want everyone to live your fullest potential. We're sharing this. We want you to have this great thing that we have. So, you know, have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. the middle of the week. Go take it by storm and be blessed, and we will see you back here, God willing, the same time, same place. This has been Coach Lalisa with our powerful, powerful midweek inspirator, Mr. Versi L. Walker.
Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.